You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, brought to you by Exmark Manufacturing. 30 years of pioneering spirit and innovation have resulted in legendary durability, all-day comfort, and unmatched cut quality. Go check them out at exmark.com. You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, the weekly show sharing proven methods and systems in marketing, equipment, and customer service, educational and motivational, to help make your lawn care business an overwhelming success. Now, here's your host, Julio Tomei.
Welcome, Lawn Care Nation, to another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. I'm your host, Julio Tomei, and this is episode number 408, entitled Managing Heavy Lawn Growth. Well, hello, everybody, and thanks again for joining me this week on another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. Really appreciate you guys tuning in each and every week, and for all the questions and comments and feedback that you guys have been sending through. Hopefully, you guys are having a good time with your lawn care businesses right now, this time of year, as the title suggests. Managing heavy lawn growth can be a difficult time, particularly here in the Pacific Northwest. It has been a pretty tough week, just with all of those factors kind of hitting. I always call this sort of like hell month to get through it in terms of mowing, because we are, for the most part, when you're doing these small residential lawns, as I've talked about on this podcast many times, interviewing guys on the West Coast from, where I'm from here in Canada, all the way up through Washington State and Oregon and California, that with the small lawns, bagging is sort of the thing. That's what we do here. And you get to this time of year, particularly here in this Pacific Northwest, where it's always wet and rainy. And even on days where, it's not raining, just the amount of dew in the morning just means the grass is always wet. And then you've got that temperature finally rising. You've got warm days happening. And with, those aerations and fertilizers and things that have gone down in, the past month, all that stuff is just all the ingredients for, that perfect storm of lawns just growing just crazy. And, with all of the clients right now, I could literally, go and mow them twice a week and still be, each time justifying a second visit there each week because of how, much they're growing. But of course, that's not really something that we're doing. We're, just on a weekly schedule for everybody. So it can be difficult at times to handle. Everybody I've talked to here locally is kind of going through that same thing, and it's always sort of that, just that burst here of a kind of mid-April. It starts to ramp up, and then in through May here, where just those temperatures and everything, everything's kind of like that recipe for it all to be that perfect storm of lawns growing like crazy. And I thought this week's episode would be a good one to get into and kind of talk about, how over the years I have managed that heavy spring lawn growth with the different mowers and stuff that I have used throughout those years. But first, before we get into that, just some housekeeping things. Of course, the Equip Expo is coming up, and if you guys are looking to book your show passes for that, you can use code Julio to save 50% off of the already low early bird pricing. And I believe for this year, if you're using the discount and booking your tickets and stuff during that early bird pricing period, that it works out to like $12.50 or something like that for the show passes for the entire Equip Expo. So just an absolute fantastic deal. Like I said, if you go to if you go to Equip Expo's website and you just enter code Julio, you'll get that 50% off. Or you can use the link in the podcast show notes. It'll be there as well. Or you can go to lawncarebusinesssuccess.com/equip, and that'll take you straight to the registration page with the discount already applied. So, yeah, if you guys are thinking about that, just a great, you know, way to save a bunch of money on your Equip show passes. Also, had a funny kind of little interaction this past week. Kind of took me... it took me by surprise, basically. I got a text message from Paul Kamara in the middle of the week, and all it said in all capital letters was garden weasel and then a bunch of like LOL emojis. And I was like, what? I could not figure out, like, did he text the wrong person? Did he, you know, I just was like, because there was no context to the text message. He had me scratching my head going, garden weasel? And, you know, it was all caps. It was like he's yelling at me, garden weasel! And I was just like scratching my head like, what the heck? So I had to text him back, and I texted him some question marks, and I said, sorry, I don't get it. And he says, it's Paul. And he says, I'm listening to your last podcast, and that's that you couldn't remember the name of that cultivation tool. He says, I must have said it three times while laughing. And I just started like laughing myself. I said, yeah, that's it. It's garden weasel. That's what that little tool that I was trying to explain when I was using the Landsy and doing that lawn reno, and those areas of soil that were compacted and stuff, that there was no longer any lawn in some patches, and I wanted to break up that soil. I was talking about sort of a manual like tiller type thing, but I was describing it, and I said to him, yeah, that's it, and laughing. And then I said, but I like my Chinese throwing stars description better though. Yeah, apparently that tool that I was describing with the interlocking sort of Chinese throwing stars, kind of the manual tiller type thing, is called a garden weasel. And I looked it up, and sure enough, that's exactly the tool that I was talking about. When you Google garden weasel and you see that that kind of tool with a handle and the kind of like Chinese throwing star looking things on the bottom that you roll back and forth to break up the soil. So I had a really good laugh with that, especially in the beginning, because it just had me bewildered, like, what's he talking about? Garden weasel? And being all caps, like he's yelling at me for it. So I was just like, what the heck? And then when he finally, texted him, and then he told me about him yelling at the, saying it three times while listening to the podcast, kind of out loud at me, as if I could, hear him through the headphones or something. It was just like hilarious to think about Paul doing that. So hopefully you guys all had a good laugh there last week too, with my description of that cultivation tool, the garden weasel, or the manual tilling / Chinese throwing star cultivation 3000. I'll call it. So, yeah, hopefully you guys had a good laugh with that. So, yeah, as I said earlier, I want to chat a little bit this week about managing that heavy lawn growth during this, spring period that a lot of you guys might be going through, especially if you're in this sort of Pacific Northwest area and you're dealing with that same sort of conditions. Although I'm sure there's a lot of guys in other areas that are having similar types of conditions as well. So we'll get into that. But first, a word from our sponsor. So stay tuned.
Choosing the right equipment also means getting service and support you can trust. Hi, it's Michelle with the XSmart customer service team. We are committed to giving you the expert technical support necessary to keep your equipment performing at its best. Reach us by phone, email, or social media on any weekday, and we will respond quickly with advice you can trust, because it comes straight from the folks who built your machines. Visit xmark.com to learn about xmark's industry-leading service and parts support.
Okay, so as I mentioned earlier, this time of year, I always refer to as hell month. In fact, I had one of my customers who always comes out and has a nice chat with me each and every week, came to chat. Actually, I knocked on the door this time. Usually he comes out, but he works from home. But this past week, I knocked on the door because I needed a new credit card expiry number from him. So he came to the door, and he gave me his new credit card number, and then he was just asked me how it was going. And we always joke with each other and laugh, so I can be a little bit more kind of myself, joking around with him and that sort of stuff. So I was like, oh man, it's just like hell week this, week, hell month, right? And kind of going through, man, like all morning, the mower's been clogging up, and it's just the same thing every year for 18 years. Doesn't matter what machines I'm using, doesn't matter what it is, this week, this month is just the most brutal, right? So he's like, I got you. He was laughing away at that as well, right? So it's just a crazy time with that amount of growth and everything that happens. Like some of these lawns, I kid you not, I am showing up and it's like 6 to 8 inches tall in areas. Not consistently, not like the entire lawn, but there'll be patches of like, 6 inch tall, 8 inch tall grass in those areas. And then the rest of the lawn might be like 4 or 5 inches tall. And, you start mowing and you get, this past week, like with the Exmark commercial 30, I'll start mowing and then it's like, a couple of stripes in and, usually if I'm going, taking it easy, there's some tricks I'll use. Like, one of the classic ones is raising the rear wheel height. To put more of a pitch on the deck. So I've got the front wheels typically set at about 2.5 inches for most of my clients. But then during those like heavier growth periods, or if it's wet or things like that, I can raise the rear wheels up. And on the commercial 30, and actually on the 21 too, the Exmark 21, it makes it really simple because it's just got that one handle on the side that releases and it lifts the rear height very easily. The front on those mowers, you have to physically remove the wheels and put them in the different height holes and stuff. So it's a little bit different, but for this particular application that I like to kind of change that pitch. And this works as well if you're mulching lawns. If you're mulching using something like a 21-inch mower, doesn't matter what brand mower it is, and it's not quite leaving that clean cut, it's leaving clumps of grass and stuff behind, try raising your rear wheels up higher than the front height, whatever the height you have set at. And that'll usually take care of being able to get those grass clippings mulched up a lot better. It just creates more airflow happening through there. Keeps those grass clippings just whether you're bagging or mulching, just seems to work a lot better if you've got that pitch of the deck angled so that the front is lower than the rear. So that's the first trick that I'll do with most of the mowers, whether it's a 21-inch mower, whether it's the commercial 30, is typically I'll do that. Now, for years and years, when I was using the Honda 21s, the commercial HRC 216, with that mower, because it has a fuel shutoff right on the actual carburetor itself, with the Hondas you could and the venting system on those is different than it is on the Exmarks or the Kawasaki engines that the Exmark uses. With the Hondas, and then obviously again the other point that just came to my mind as well is the deck design on those 21-inch mowers, right? Whether it's the Exmark 21 or a Honda 21, the wheels are usually in line with the sides of the deck. There's not like a huge overhang or anything. So this allows you to, at least with the Honda, because of that fuel shutoff being right on the carb and the venting system, you can flip the mower on its side. So for many years when I was using just the Honda mowers, that's what I would do. I would get through the front lawn, you could hear the mower bogging down, almost instantaneously after a few stripes and stuff. you know, being such a small surface area underneath that 21. And then, you know, to get to the backyard or wherever the case may be, I would then shut the mower off. I'd empty the bag out from the front yard stuff. And I'm usually typically starting at the front yard because that's where I'm pulling up with the vehicle. And then I would, you know, turn the fuel shut off, turn the mower on its side. And then I would have my gloves on and I would just clear all the clumps out of the bottom of the deck. So that's how I kind of manage that. And, you know, if I started out with a clean deck, then it was very easy. Obviously, when you're mowing grass and it's fresh and it's wet and all that sort of stuff, it just comes off, whether it's just like morning dew or because of rain or whatever the case may be, it just wipes off very easily. Now, with the Exmark 21 as well as the Commercial 30, so the 21 does have sort of that design with the wheels and the deck where you could technically flip it on its side, and it does have a fuel shut off. It's not quite at the carburetor. It's a little bit up the fuel line. But the biggest issue with the Kawasaki engine design is the fuel tank they use and the venting system that they use is different, particularly, you know, when comparing it to those Honda mowers I was using many, many years ago, where, you know, pollution regulations and stuff like that for venting and stuff was, you know, a lot less strict than it is now, where these newer mowers all have sort of these more elaborate venting systems. It makes it more difficult now to, you know, turn the mower on its side. You just can't do that on a, you know, one of these Kawasaki engines with that venting system, because that fuel will kind of backflow into that venting area and mess things up, and it's not going to run properly if you do that. So you always have to, with the Kawasaki motors, those like FJ 180 type engines that the Exmark uses, you have to take the fuel out. So you have to, you know, siphon the fuel out before you're able to flip it on its side. So what's recommended with those mowers is to tilt it back on its handle so that it's kind of doing like a pop a wheelie. So you can do that with those mowers. So it's just a little bit of a different design, because it's a little bit more awkward to do that, and you need something to kind of prop it up. So typically, and now with the Exmark Commercial 30, it takes it one more level, because the deck, being a 30-inch deck, has a lot of overhang on the side. So the sides of the deck stick out past the wheels. So that makes it even more difficult if you're trying to flip it on its side, where typically, you know, if you're thinking about like a, you know, a regular 21-inch mower, you've got the four wheels on the ground. You start to angle it, you still have two wheels on the ground, and the deck is kind of in line with the wheels, and you can get it on its side pretty easily with the wheel still in contact with the ground. Where when you get with the Commercial 30, because the deck sticks out past, if you try to put it on its side, well, immediately the deck hits the ground. And if you try to get it on its side, well, now you're, you know, fully on the deck and not the wheels because of that amount of overhang that those mowers have. And then you couple that with the fact that it has, you know, that same, you know, new style venting system that requires you to really have to siphon out fuel if you're going to flip it, you know, fully on its side like that. It just makes it something that you're not doing as easily while you're on a job site, while you're on, you know, during the day mowing lawns, right? So again, with the Commercial 30, it's the same scenario where you have to tilt it back on its handles to not have to deal with any of that. In fact, what I do at this time of year is with the Commercial 30, because it's a lot bigger, what I'm typically doing is I'm cleaning out the deck to start the morning. So I'll do it at the end of the day, end of a mowing day, so that it's ready for the next morning. But I'll do it in my garage when I'm getting ready, loading up stuff. And I use my Jungle Gyms Accessories Jungle Jack. which is a fantastic, very compact mower jack. One of these ones that has a, sort of like a hook on the bottom that you can put under a mower deck, whether it's a commercial 30 or a 36 inch walk behind, or even like, a 52 inch stand on mower, or, you know, zero turn mower. It'll lift all of those. And there's no hydraulics, no anything like that. Basically, it's just a big lever. It's got a little swing out arm that kind of opens up, and you can put your, you know, stand on it, put some weight on it, and it'll tilt the whole mower up if you're dealing with like this big, you know, zero turn or something like that. With a commercial 30, obviously, I don't need to do that because it's not that big. But that little hook on the jungle jack, I just hooked that on that front bar, that kind of like the front axle bar that goes across the front of the deck there. And I just tilt it back on that and lift the mower up. That allows me to, safely have that mower up. Because, you know, even though it's a 30, it's still a very well-built mower. And you wouldn't want that landing on your head if you're like underneath it, or landing even on your arm or something like that. So I have that propped up, so it's safely propped up without having to use, you know, a block of wood or something like that if you were going to, you know, try to do something kind of a Mickey Mouse or something like that. So I've got it safely propped up. I know it's not going anywhere with that. And then I literally will lay like a tarp down first, roll the commercial 30 on there, use that jungle jack, lift up the front of the mower so that it's fully kind of laying on its handle there. And then I'll use my like a scraper type thing. I actually have one that's purpose built for it called the Grass Buster. This is a little hand tool that I saw many years ago at a little specialty store here in Canada. It's still actually available all over the place that you can get it from a bunch of different areas. And basically, it's a paint scraper with some modifications to it, made specifically or designed specifically for scraping out your deck. So it's got a longer blade on it, and it's got rounded corners, so there's no sharp 90 degree corners in it that are going to dig into, say, like the, rounded edges of a deck or anything like that. It also starts thicker towards the handle, the metal, but then goes kind of very thin and more flexible at the tip. So it's got a couple of just little different tweaks and stuff to it. So it's still got that rigidity and strength, but a little bit more flexible in that tip area with the round edges and stuff to get into those, corner areas and stuff of your different decks. And it works really good. So I use that specific tool, the Grass Buster, to clean out the mower decks and let it all just kind of fall on top of the tarp that the mower is sitting over. And then once I get all that scraped up, I take the mower, pull it away, and then pull up the corners of the tarp, and then go dump it in my green waste bin or at my particular house, because that's usually where I'm doing that. Now, when I'm on the job site, because these mowers, these newer style mowers with these more elaborate venting systems, cannot be flipped on their sides, this is where it becomes a little bit more complicated, especially when you've got, a bunch of lawns to do. So typically, there's a couple, like I said, a couple tricks. The first thing, as I mentioned to or alluded to earlier, was I will raise that rear height of the deck. And I find that that helps quite a bit. If, I'm starting to mow and it starts to bog down at all, then raising that rear height of that deck really does take the strain off of the motor. Having that extra airflow, particularly because I'm bagging lawns, really does help. It's quite dramatic, actually, at times where just, if I'm cutting at, say, for example, 2.5, and, just raising it to 2.75 or 3 if I have to on the rear, makes a dramatic difference in the amount that that mower might struggle through that really thick, heavy, wet stuff. and not that much of a difference in height or, you know, cut height, because the front is still set at the same, you know, 2.5 inch height. So typically I'll do that. If it's really, really bad, I'll also go slower with the mower in certain areas. You know, you get through those bigger rough patches and stuff like that. So I'll go slower with the mower in those areas. And then because, the other tip there, particularly when you're bagging, is to keep your bag clean. So what typically happens is, obviously, airflow is king when it comes to bagging lawns. You want that airflow going from that, you know, those blades are creating as they're spinning. That airflow is going through that chute and into the bag, and you need a way for that air to exhaust out through the mower. If it didn't exhaust out, then things just wouldn't work when it comes to bagging lawns, right? The airflow has to go somewhere. So you'll notice in, you know, fancy mowers, even like the Exmark Navigator that I use, or Walkers, similarly, with our GHS system, on that back of the hopper door, there'll be an area that kind of has like a vent area that you can, almost looks like a louver or something like that. And if you look underneath it, you'll see that it's just an area there for that airflow to escape out of those hopper boxes, to keep that airflow flowing, right? And in those mowers, they'll have, like in my Navigator and also in the Walkers, they'll have a screen built in to the top that you can remove and clean. But that screen is there to prevent, as the grass is filling into that hopper and the airflow is trying to escape out, it contains the grass from, you know, basically traps the grass from exhausting out of those vents, but allows the air to flow through. And, you know, if that screen ever clogs, as it does, and, you know, that's the case with the, you know, when I owned the Walker, they had a screen that had a particular size, and they had an optional screen that you could get with bigger holes in it for those really tough conditions when it's wet and stuff like that, that you could replace the original screen with that bigger hole screen, just to allow more airflow when you're dealing with those tough conditions, so that you can keep that machine bagging properly without clogging or bogging down or anything like that. With the Exmark, they have a single screen that comes with it, but there's a removable strip in the front that you can take out to have like this like 3-inch section removed to allow you know, all the airflow if you're in a condition where the screen is clogging up enough that it's, you know, hampering the performance of the mower. So you can remove that bigger section, because then obviously grass is not going to be able to clog that bigger section. And then that allows that airflow to keep going, so that you don't have any issues with bagging. So when you're using a small mower, like a push mower, 21-inch mower, you know, the commercial 30s and stuff, you've got that cloth bag on it. You know, when I was using those Honda 21-inch mowers back in the day, the HRC 216, I'm sure you guys have probably, if you're on social media and stuff, you may have seen or are aware of sort of those metal aluminum boxes that are popular on big mowers, catcher boxes. Originally started by a company called Accelerator Industries. So they had those like aluminum accelerator boxes on the sides. I think Ballard makes a version of their own now too. There's a couple of different companies. There's some companies that make them out of steel. Aluminum ones are a little bit more expensive. And in my opinion, probably worth their weight if you're going to go that route with those metal boxes, just because of the obviously the weight of the unit. Once it's full of grass, if you're going to lift it, you know, you want something as light as possible to start with, because you're going to be dealing with the weight of the grass. So steel is just a bit too heavy, obviously. And then with steel, you get rusting issues and stuff as well. So anyways, back in the day with the HRC 216, they did make a accelerator box for the Hondas that replaced the original cloth bagger there was a bracket that you had to install in the top to be able to deal with the heavier weight, and just was like a bigger, bulkier little bracket. And then there was this big like aluminum box. It was like twice the capacity of the original bagger, but it was all aluminum and had these like big mesh sides on it. And I used that for many years, and it was fantastic together with the Honda with the rear wheels, you know, pitched up a bit for that angle. And then you add that aluminum accelerator box in wet conditions, you know, you could mow fantastically with that setup. So the key, whether you were using something like that or a cloth bagger, was to always ensure, because you'd get that wet grass building up and it would start to clog eventually. It builds up on the inside of the, whether it's an accelerator or a cloth bagger, you get that sort of film, that layer on the sides of wet grass and stuff that builds up. And what that does is it clogs out, like on a cloth bagger, the airflow comes through the porosity, I guess you would call it, the holes in the actual fabric, right? And yeah, that's what you'll see when you turn on your blades, and you'll see that bag kind of puff up like a balloon as the air is coming out of it, right? It contains enough of the air in there to give you that kind of like puffed up look, but the air is escaping out of the sides, which is evident, in a lot of different scenarios, especially in dry weather, like in the summertime, if you're trying to bag and you're going over dirt lawns or dry lawns and stuff like that. And, you go over areas and it gets really, really dusty because, you know, the air is escaping, right? And the dust is so fine that it makes its way through the mesh. So in the rain, you don't have that issue because everything's wet. But what you do have is you have that wet grass that sticks to the inside of the bag on the sides. So you go to empty it, you shake it and stuff like that, but you still get that wet grass on the sides. Eventually, that starts to hamper the airflow as well. So the other trick I would do is, obviously with a glove on, and so I just use my hand and just wipe the sides of the bagger out. And typically, the bottom of the bagger usually has like a plastic cover, or, it's more reinforced. And same with the back of the bag will be reinforced. Even sometimes the top of the bag will be reinforced, and it's just the sides that are sort of that breathable part. So depending on the mower and how they've constructed the bag, typically if that's the case, you can just do the sides to get that airflow going. And that's the other trick, is just keep the sides of your bag, whether it's like the accelerators and it's the holes that are getting plugged by that grass, layer of grass that kind of builds up on the inside, or whether it's a cloth bag and it's the same sort of instances. Keep that bag clean, and that will increase that airflow and help you bag more properly. The other thing is, if you're using any type of mower that has, like on the Honda mowers, those HRC 216s, they have that micro cut system with the two blades, basically a stacked blade design that has a sort of a high lift blade and then a mulching blade on top, is to remove that top mulching blade and just keep the high lift part of the blade, the single blade underneath, if you're going to be bagging and you want optimal bagging performance. The thing with a lot of these mowers, and we'll get into the commercial 30 as well, is that they come set up for all sorts of scenarios. Like if you're going to be bagging, it's got to work bagging. But if you're going to be mulching, it's got to work mulching. So they've got, the blades that come with it kind of, optimal for certain conditions, but not all conditions. So with the Honda, what I found was, that micro cut system was great for mulching and stuff. But when it came to bagging in tough conditions, I found that it didn't create as much airflow because of having that two stacked blade design with that top blade almost hampering that air circulation, and removing that top blade and just putting the lower blade on, the actual cutting blade on, really increased the airflow in that particular unit. And Honda actually sold at the time. I don't know if they will continue to now, obviously, because they're discontinuing motor production and stuff like that. But they had a shim kit that you could buy, because obviously when you were had the stack blade design, that blades on the top were a certain thickness. And when you go to tighten the bolts to hold the blades on, it was designed to have two blades on there. So if you're removing one blade, now the bolts couldn't tighten properly because it was missing a blade. So they had a shim kit that basically was basically almost like the center of one of those blades with the blade part cut off, with just the holes for the same thickness metal and everything, with the holes for the bolts, just to take up that same amount of space so that you could tighten the bolts. So once you got that and put it in, then you were golden there. Now, with the Commercial 30 for the past 3 years, I've been relying on the raising of the rear wheels, as well as, you know, just going slower and then making sure that the bag is clear. And because I can't do that on-site cleaning as easily, you know, because it relies on, you know, having to tilt the mower back. And I have done that. I've tilted the mower back and used like a block of wood or something to hold it up while I'm like, you know, in the field sort of thing. It's still a bit awkward because it doesn't tilt up as easily as if it was, you know, being able to like lay on its side. So I stopped doing that just because it was more awkward, and it took a lot longer to have to deal with that. So what I started to do, because of the build quality of the Exmark Commercial 30, because it is literally built like a tank, that thing, is I'll mow a front, you know, I'll start in the morning with a fresh, you know, clean deck, get to the first house, and mow the first house, get the front yard done and stuff. Now, if I have to go to the backyard, what I'll do is I will literally, with the mower running, I don't turn off the mower or anything. I turn off the blades, so the blades are stopped, but I don't turn off the engine. I literally will push down on the handles to lift the front wheels up off the air, and sometimes push them down all the way to the ground, so that it's like a full pop wheelie, and then I just let go of the mower and let it fall and land on the front wheels. And I'll do that 3 or 4 times, and basically it's just shaking all of the loose grass that's built up under the deck. It just drops it into you know, some piles onto the lawn there, right? And then I'll roll the mower back. I take the bag off with the clippings that are in it already, and then I put the bag on the ground, and then with my other hand, with a glove on, I just kind of rake those piles of grass that it just dropped into the bag, and then go dump the bag, and then I'm good to put the bag back on, and then roll the mower using the self-propeller or whatever to go to you know, the back lawn. And then I'll do the same thing there. Mow that back lawn, and then, you know, drop, lift and drop the mower a couple times on the front wheels to shake off any loose clippings. Particularly if there is like some of the houses that I'll do, they'll have the back lawn and stuff, but the pathway that goes from the front to the back is like gravel, and those are the worst, because you go to run it. Obviously, you know, you turn the blades off, so there's no risk of, you know, firing rocks or something while you're going over, you know, loose gravel. But the problem there is that then, you know, the loose gravel is bumpy, and as you go, it starts dropping, you know, piles of grass as you're going, wet grass that's stuck to that bottom, right? So you don't want to do that. Now, if the you know, mower, or sorry, the path is like concrete, one of the other tricks that you can do is leave the blades on. So if go from the front yard to the backyard and just leave the blades engaged while you're going over those paved surfaces, right? If I know if it's a lawn that I can get to, there's no obstacles in the way, there's no anything like that, I can leave the blades going, and then that'll prevent any you know, chunks of grass and stuff from falling out of the deck and stuff. Because usually, if, you know, something falls, it's hitting the blades and going into the bagger. Again, occasionally you get a little bit coming out, but it's not a huge deal or anything. So that's typically what I'll do with that is I find it just easier to keep the engine running, lift the handles, drop it a couple times on the mower front wheels, and that just knocks off anything loose, clumps and stuff. I tell you, going, and I can get through the entire day doing that without having to actually physically do a big cleanup of the deck, and it'll get through the entire day of mowing lawns all day with that mower without bogging down and clogging, as long as I'm just knocking all those loose clumps and stuff after each lawn or each section of lawn. If I'm doing like a back lawn and going to the front lawn, front lawn going to the back lawn, just so I'm not dropping clippings onto, you know, those paved surfaces and leaving, you know, green grass stains and stuff like that. So I'll typically do that. And that will work really good to be able to clear out those grass clippings and be able to continue until I'm done for the day. And then at which case, you'll also get between drives, between going from location to location, just having the mower in the trailer and just, you know, it bouncing on the road and stuff like that. I'll always get grass clippings dropping off into the back of the, you know, inside the trailer as well. So that loosens some up as well. But typically that's how I'm handling this really thick, heavy wet grass with the smaller mowers is, if I had, a 21, an older 21 without those newer style venting systems, I would be flipping it on its side and cleaning it out in between, you know, front lawn to back lawn sort of thing. But then with the newer mowers, with these more complicated venting systems that don't allow you to do that without draining the fuel tank, then typically I'm just leaving it running, lifting up on the wheels and just dropping it on its front wheels to knock loose any of those big clumps and stuff. And that is enough to get me through the day. And then when I finish the day at the end of the day and I'm unloading equipment, then I'll set up my tarp, get that jungle jack, lift up the mower, and then I get my little grass buster scraper, clear out the deck fully, nice and clean, and get that so that it's ready for the next day to do it all over again. So that's why I call it, a hell month or hell week, because that's what we're dealing with. And then, you know, every bag of grass that you're picking up is a lot heavier as well, because it's just always wet and moist. And it's one of those things, right, that you just got to get through every day. I'm having to clear out the deck and stuff like that. So ironically, I posted a photo of my commercial 30, I think it was last week that I posted a photo, and I had it up on the jungle jack, and I was, kind of explaining that, hey, it's a, hell week, hell month, and, having to clean out the deck every day, and sort of just the natural kind of thing that we do here. And somebody commented that, hey, why don't you remove that front baffle off the commercial 30 deck, that they remove it at their work, and that it's only 4 bolts, and that you'll see a drastic improvement in the amount of grass that builds up under the deck on the commercial 30. So when I went to clean out the deck, I took a look at it, and there is this little sort of triangular shaped piece of metal at the front of the deck underneath, and there are 4 bolts that you actually see when you're looking at the mower from the front, where it says commercial 30, the sticker on the front, there's 4 bolts there. Those are holding that baffle in place. And then it completely reminded me of like when I, was first starting, and I was using a John Deere tractor to mow, just one of those basic John Deere tractors, and I went to go buy a mulch kit for it. The mulch kit comprised of mulching blades and this big long plastic piece that slid in through the chute on one side of the deck, the side chute, all the way to the other side. And all it did was it sat at the front of the deck, and it just basically ran along the front of the deck and created that same baffle shape, that sort of same triangle in the middle of where the two blades are. And basically what it's doing is just isolating the two sides. So I started to think, like, of course, the commercial 30's got 2 blades set up, like this side-by-side blades, and it comes with a mulch kit, and it's used very popularly for mulching. The blades that are on it are Gator style mulching blades that come with it from the factory. So it's probably, you know, set up optimally as a mower to be, used as mulching. So I thought, of course, like, obviously that baffle's there. The grass that's being cut from that left blade is just being directed to be recirculated around that left side. And, you know, it starts to build up and clog when you got that wet, heavy growth there in the middle and starts to, break off the air circulation and all that sort of stuff. So I thought, yeah, like, perfect. Like, what a, you know, that makes sense. I'll give it a shot, right? So I did that the other day after I did my first, good cleaning there, and then removed that baffle. So I will be trying that this week. It's ready to go for this week. And then starting tomorrow, got the next 2 days or full days of using that commercial 30, and growth is unbelievable right now. So we will put that to the test, running the commercial 30 this week without that front baffle, and I will report back and let you guys know. I'm also be getting some video footage of it to kind of compare it and see what it's like. So we'll see how it is doing the same houses that I'm always been doing, and see if there's any difference during this really heavy wet kind of growth period with lawns, and see if that helps removing that front baffle and running the commercial 30 without that front baffle. So absolutely very looking forward to that experiment and seeing if that works. But over the years, those are generally the tips that I use for clearing, whether it's using on a larger mower or, a smaller mower, even on those larger mowers, horsepower is a big thing too. I find, the bigger the mower, the more it can handle sort of those wetter conditions. If I'm using, mowing a lawn with, say, the turf tracer, and it's got like a 15 horsepower motor on it, it's able to, handle those tougher conditions better than, say, the commercial 30 that has a much smaller engine on it. And then you move up to, say, like the Exmark Navigator, and that's gonna handle even better than the commercial turf tracer, because not only does it have an even bigger motor, but it also has that whole impeller vacuum system, blower system, that helps direct those clippings as well. And that's why I've been a fan of those types of mowers as well, for those bigger properties, is using those style, like out front mowers with that built-in vacuum bagging system, because in these tough conditions, that is what you need to be able to continue and still have that same quality of cut week after week, regardless of what the conditions are as well. Now, the other thing that I do, and I know you guys hear me talk about all the time about, mowing in the rain and all that sort of stuff, but the other thing that I do is, a few years ago, as I did go to a 3-day mowing week. So I mow Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And typically as well, as you'll notice, just to step back, talking about those smaller mowers and that sort of idea of pitching the deck forward, that's another reason why you'll see with me, whether I'm mowing, with a smaller, 21-inch mower, a 30-inch mower, a turf tracer, when I was using the 32-inch Exmark Staris, now the 42-inch Exmark Navigator, the one thing that all those mowers have in common is manual height adjustments with, on the bigger, obviously the smaller mowers are, always manual height adjustments, but on those bigger mowers, the Turf Tracer, the Staris, and the Navigator all have like 4-pin manual height adjustments, because they allow you to have a different height on the rear of the deck versus the front of the deck. On a regular height adjustment system, we're using like a single lever that lifts and lowers the deck. It's always a level deck, right? You can't change the pitch of that deck from week to week if the conditions are tougher or not as tough, right? Whatever the case may be. So if the weather conditions are good and the growth isn't as bad, then, you know, I can have that pitch slightly adjusted for certain conditions and stuff like that, regardless of what mower I'm using. That's typically why I'm a fan of those. Now, going back to what I was saying before, the other thing that I do is that 3-day mowing week, because I mow Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays. I keep the Mondays and Fridays available for other projects that I don't promise people. I just schedule stuff when people want stuff. You know, if they want hedges or things like that, I just tell them I'm going to do it. And I'll fill it in on those days whenever I want. But what it allows me to do is if we do have, I will mow in the rain all the time. I have no issues with mowing in the rain. But if it is an absolute downpour or something like that, then that gives me that flexibility to have Mondays and Fridays as sort of that day. So if it's going to like pour rain on a Tuesday, and that's what they're calling for, like really heavy rain or something like that, then I'll go mow those Tuesdays on the Monday that week. And that way I don't have to do that mowing on the Tuesday and then get back to it on Wednesday and on, regularly scheduled lawns starting the Wednesday cuts. And likewise on the Friday, on the tail end of the week, it's the same sort of thing. If Wednesday cuts, I get my Tuesdays done, and then Wednesdays, it's an absolute deluge, downpour of rain. And I'm like, it's not worth getting out there today. It's just way too heavy, the rain. Then what I'll do is I just push it back a day, right? So then I can start the Wednesdays on Thursdays and then do my Thursdays on Fridays. That's the other sort of trick that I've done, is just consolidated all of my mowing to the 3 days a week. And then I just fill in other non-mowing jobs on those other days, and I don't promise anybody anything, so that I have that flexibility, right? I'm not going to tell somebody I'm going to do their hedge on Friday to expect me there on Friday, because if something happens and I need to move lawns, then I can do it and they're not disappointed that I didn't show up to do their hedge, right? I just push it, their hedge, to the next week and do that on the next Monday or the next or the following Friday, whatever the case may be. And that gives me that ultimate flexibility to manage lawns through heavy growth periods, through bad weather and all that sort of stuff. And then typically if I want to go on vacation and or take a long weekend or something like that, then that helps in that scenario as well. So those are the ways that I manage heavy lawn growth in my lawn care business, for the most part using smaller mowers, because that's typically what I'm using most of the time in my lawn care business. But even for those bigger lawns as well, a lot of those tricks are the same. I remember even, when I was using a tractor, some of those tricks were the same, where I was, mowing and, you could hear the deck clog, and I would just go like to a corner of the lawn and use the handle that lifts and lowers the deck. And I would just, lift it and lower it quickly a bunch of times to shake the deck, and to have all the big clumps of grass drop off, and do it that way. And, when I was using the tractor, it didn't have an assisted blower to bag. And I found in that scenario that it was better to mulch in the rain and then bag during dry weather. It was kind of the reverse, but it gave me better results in those instances, because bagging without an assisted bagger on a large mower was almost kind of useless, trying to push wet grass clippings up a tube all the way to a bags that were like on the back of the mower, where the Navigator or Walker style mowers, because they have that blower right at that deck level, right where the blades are sort of cutting and shooting them towards sort of the discharge side, it immediately goes into a big 10-inch blower that handles getting the clippings into a thing, and it doesn't hamper the mower cutting, which is why, again, here in the Pacific Northwest, I'm such a fan of those types of mowers for these really tough conditions here in the spring when you got that heavy growth, but also at the tail end in the fall when the leaves are falling down and it's always wet and rainy and stuff as well, having that sort of vacuum system on those types of mowers. The other go-to is for me is the walk-behind mower has been a big thing as well, having a mower that basically is a side discharge, right? So there's no resistance as the blades are cutting that wet grass. instead of having sort of like the tractor style thing where, you know, you have this big tube that attaches to the side discharge trying to go to bags on the back of the mower, you know, and trying to keep it compact without a blower on the side to get through gates and stuff like that. You know, having, you know, the walk behind with that big sort of cloth bagger that just is right on the side of the deck. It's basically like you're side discharging. Those blades are cutting that heavy wet grass and just shooting it straight into the bag, into the side. There's no resistance, no tubes to go up, all that sort of stuff. So that's why I found, with the turf tracer, it's been great. The other neat thing with the turf tracer is the weight ratio of that unit. I'm actually able to, and especially with the Sulky that I have, the little mount for the Sulky is attached at the bottom rear of the mower, and it acts as kind of like a kickstand. And because of the weight ratio, I can actually lift that mower, like push down on the handles on the turf tracer and lean it back on its handles, and it'll rest on that little mount for the Sulky, and it'll just sit there. It won't tilt forward. The weight is all kind of on that rear because of the motor. So when I angle it back, it just kind of sits there up in the air doing a pop a wheelie, and actually I can actually, you know, clean out the bottom of the deck and stuff without having to use a jack or anything like that on that particular unit, because the weight is all sort of on the rear, and it wants to have a tendency of just sitting on its back there, and that has worked fantastically with that mower, using that little trick as well if it gets really, really bad. But typically with the bigger mowers, the horsepower is kind of the big thing there, and is enough to keep most of those clippings moving and the airflow happening if you've got some good, you know, high lift blades happening there. So hopefully those tips help you guys in managing sort of that heavy growth, especially when you got that morning dew and grass is just growing crazy, or if you're having to deal with lawns in the rain. Those are the things that I have done over the years to be able to make it through the day and to continue mowing and keeping the schedule going day after day. So that's it for this one, guys. Here's to wishing you guys all overwhelming success and freedom in your lawn care business. Bye for now.